books, or just one? Give the Swami a book. You have my little red book there someplace, maybe.
Yay!
Yay!
Yata!
Yata!
Mam!
Mam!
Prapadyante!
Prapadyante!
Tang!
Tang!
Tataiva!
Tataiva!
Pajami!
Pajami!
Aham!
Aham!
Mama!
Mama!
Vartma!
Vartma!
Anuvartante!
Anuvartante!
Manusya!
Manusya!
Partha!
Partha!
Sarvashaha!
Sarvashaha!
Ye yata mam prapadyante,
ye yata mam prapadyante,
tangs tataiva pajamyaham,
tangs tataiva pajamyaham,
mama vartma anuvartante,
mama vartma anuvartante,
manusya partha sarvashaha,
manusya partha sarvashaha.
Yayata mam prapadyante.
Yayata
mam prapadyante. Tam sataiva bhajamyaham.
Mama vartma
anuvartante.
Manusya
partha sarvashaha.
Yayata mam prapadyante.
Yayata mam prapadyante.
Tamstathaiva bhajamyaham.
Tamstathaiva bhajamyaham.
Mama vartmanu vartante.
Mama vartmanu vartante.
Manushya partha sarvashah.
Manushya partha sarvashah.
Yayata mam prapadyante.
Yayata mam prapadyante.
Tamsa tseva
bhajamyaham.
Mama vartana vartante.
Manusya partha sarvashaha.
Yay.
All who?
All who?
Yata.
Yata.
As.
Yes.
Mam.
Mam.
Unto me.
Unto me.
Prapadyante.
Prapadyante.
Surrender.
Surrender.
Tan.
Tan.
Them.
Them.
Tata.
Tata.
So.
So.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Pajami.
Pajami.
Reward.
Reward.
Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Mama.
Mama.
My.
My.
Vartma.
Vartma.
Path.
Path.
Anuvartante.
Anuvartante.
Follow.
Follow.
Manusya.
Manusya.
All men.
All men.
Partha.
Partha.
O son of Pratha.
O son of Pratha.
Sarvashaha.
Sarvashaha.
In all respects.
In all respects.
As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pratha. Purport. Everyone is searching for Krishna in the different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence and as the all-pervading Supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Jina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam. Yayata mam prapadyante tam sthaya bhajamyaham. Mama Vartman Vartante Manusya Partha Sarvashaha. The Mamavartma Anavartante Manusya Partha Sarvashaha. Krishna says, everyone's following me. Everyone's looking for me. And specifically, Prabhupada makes the point that all the transcendentalists are looking for Krishna in one or another aspect of his manifestations. If they're looking for the impersonal absolute, they're looking for Krishna. If they're looking for God within their heart, they're looking for Krishna. And if they're looking for the personality of Godhead, they're looking for Krishna. So even those who are saying, no, I'm not interested in Krishna, Brahma Supreme, I'm interested in the absolute, impersonal, nameless, formless, that's Krishna. They're just looking for Krishna, but in another aspect of his manifestation. The yogis, Paramatmavadis, are looking for Krishna. So everyone is looking for Krishna. Even the materialists are looking for Krishna. Gold is also Krishna. Silver is also Krishna. The paper money is also Krishna. Everything is Krishna. Mm-hmm. Whatever they're looking for is Krishna. Krishna is in many places, he says, I'm the light of the sun, I'm the light of the moon. The sun worshippers, the people who are going to the beach are worshipping Krishna. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that one is looking for, it's Krishna. But either in a material manifestation for the materialists, the scientists are looking for some particle that they haven't discovered yet. They're looking for dark matter, they're looking for light matter, they're looking for gray matter, they're looking for...
God particles,
devil particles, they're looking for something. Whatever they're looking for, it's nothing but Krishna in his material manifestation. And the transcendentalists we've discussed. But Krishna is realized only by the pure devotees. The scientists are not going to find Krishna between this particle and that particle. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. That's also mentioned in Chandogya Upanishad, I think it is, Brahmaputra Prajishta. That there's realization of the absolute in food. For some people, food is God. They're always looking for food. So, all right, then Krishna is food also. For other people, just to stay alive, the living force is God.
Okay.
That's also Krishna. For others, mental speculation is the Supreme. That's also Krishna. The mind is Krishna's energy. Then began those who want to realize the spiritual absolute. That's also Krishna. And finally, Anandamaya. Krishna is the source of all pleasure as the personality of Godhead. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as Supreme Master, another as his personal friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally, according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocations of feelings are there, and they are equally exchanged by the Lord with the different types of worshippers. The pure devotees, both here and in the transcendental abode, associate with him in person and are able to render personal service to the Lord and thus derive transcendental bliss in his loving service. But Krishna doesn't reciprocate only in the spiritual world. Even here, Krishna reciprocates with his devotees according to their intensity of love, according to the particular way in which they approach him. Krishna is reciprocal. Yayata, as they approach me, tams the tithe of the time, I reciprocate with them. As for those who are impersonalists and who want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of the living entity, Krishna helps also by absorbing them into his effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal, blissful personality of Godhead. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service to the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. All right, you want to merge with me? I'll absorb you. And you can merge into my effulgence. Not a very good deal, but if that's the deal that you want, a suicidal policy with no individual exchanges, for you the highest idea is to obliterate your individuality. All right, I have scope for that also. Some of them who are not firmly situated, even in the impersonal existence, return to this material field to exhibit their dormant desires for activities. They are not admitted to the spiritual planets, but they are again given a chance to act on the material planets. Elsewhere, Prabhupada mentions generally they fall down to material welfare work. There's a mission that proclaims very loudly, Brahma Satya Jagan Mitya, only the absolute truth is real, and all this world is false. It's just an illusion. And what is this mission busy with? Philanthropic activities. Feeding people, providing clothing, providing programs for national upliftment and national integration and whatever, hospitals. But if the world is false, why are we engaged in making this a better world? The falsity should be improved. What is that? Your false life should be made more comfortable, more healthy, more... If the world is false, why are we trying to make this a better illusion? Their philosophy and their activities are contradictory. Which is understandable, because if everything is false and there's, including individuality, then there's nothing to do. No activity is real. All activity is false. But how sustainable is that understanding? It remains theoretical, because as living beings, we're active. So if there's no activity on the spiritual platform, and there isn't, if spiritual variety is illusory, then what's left is material activity. So then they perform commendable material activities like opening hospitals or chicken farms or whatever it is that they think is a good idea. When we enter the spiritual region, then there are so many activities in service to Krishna. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Everything is there. And these activities are not just means to impersonal realization, but they're eternal activities. In the spiritual world, these things are going on, and in the material world, the devotees are able to take part in the same activities. But the impersonalists are excluded. They have to be busy with mundane welfare work, or they're also attracted to glorifying. They also take part in Bhagavad Katha, because just aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi gets awfully monotonous. So they're also attracted to the activities of Krishna, but unfortunately they interpret these activities in some, artificial way, some stretched, improbable way to fit into their impersonal philosophy. But still they're attracted. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired results of their prescribed duties as the yageshara. Those who are worshipping demigods, they're worshipping me indirectly. And therefore, whatever results they're getting are actually given by me. So they're worshipping me indirectly, and I'm responding indirectly. I'm in the heart of the, they're worshipping the demigod, I'm in the demigod's heart, I'm directing the demigod, Mr. Demigod, give this rascal the nonsense he's praying for. And the demigod obliges. So in that way, again, Krishna is reciprocating. And those who are yogis seeking mystic powers are awarded such powers. That's also by Krishna's arrangement. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon his mercy alone. And all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Unless, therefore, one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udadadhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruitive results, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. Akama means free from desires. The devotees are free from material desires. And sarvakama, the materialists are full of desires. And mokshakama, the sadhus of the impersonalist school are after liberation. But whatever one is after, ultimately it's awarded by Krishna. So udadadhi means one who has expansive intelligence, or broad-minded person, or person who thinks about things comprehensively, should approach Krishna. If I want liberation, Krishna's Mukunda, he gives liberation. If I want material benedictions, Krishna gives material benedictions. And if I want devotional service, that's also coming from Krishna. So why should I not approach Krishna? Of course, to approach Krishna for liberation or material advancement is not the perfect stage. But because one is approaching Krishna, one will make progress. Chaturvidha bhajante mam. The Lord says four kinds of people approach me. People who are in need of money, people who are in distress, people curious, and people who are looking for the truth. So all of them are good. Maybe the person who's looking for the truth is best. Krishna says, udara sarve vaite gyani atmadhyame matam. But all of them have approached Krishna, and therefore Krishna will reciprocate with them, and they'll make more and more progress. So whatever we want, we're advised, approach Krishna, approach Krishna. And then we're advised, forget all the rest of your nonsense, just ask the pure devotees. They're not after anything else. They're just after devotional service itself as the highest perfection. Bhakti Rupta. Okay, maybe I'll stop here and we can hear from Tadvajaswami. But we'll hear better with the microphone over there. That, Maharaj, is entirely up to you. We will benefit either way.
Om Gyanatamananda Takshuramanitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Panchakalpa-chubhishchakitra-sindhya-deva-cham Vidhanam pavanevyo vaishvayo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu-nichanandam Shri Vaitagadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Rama.
So we'll just read the next verse and go through it slowly, like we first did. If anything stands out, we'll go from there. Kangshita kamanam siddhim.
Kangshita kamanam siddhim.
Yajante yajanta iha devata
yajanta iha devata
shupam hi manushe loke
shupam hi manushe loke
sudhir bhavati karmaja
sudhir bhavati karmaja Kangshanta karmanam siddhim
Kangshanta karmanam siddhim
Yajanta iha devataha
Yajanta iha devataha
Shipram hi manushe loke
Shipram hi manushe loke
Siddhir bhavati karmaja
Siddhir bhavati karmaja
Kangshanta karmanam siddhim Yajanta iha devataha Kshipram hi manushe loke Siddhir bhavati karmaja
Kangshita
Kangshita
Desiring
Karmanam
Fruit of activity Siddhim
Perfection
Yajante,
Yajante,
they worship by sacrifice.
They worship by sacrifice.
Iha,
Iha,
in the material world.
In the material world.
Devataha,
Devataha,
the demigods.
The demigods.
Shipram,
Shipram,
very quickly.
Very quickly.
He, certainly,
certainly.
Manushe,
Manushe,
in human society.
In human society.
Loke,
Loke.
In this material world.
Within this material world.
Siddhi. Success.
Success.
Bhavati.
Bhavati.
Comes. Karmaja.
Karmaja.
From fruit of work.
From fruit of work.
It's amazing that we got this verse because Siddhi, success, when we were driving over here, there was a place called the Success Center. And I was thinking, you should pull in and see what they have for an idea of success. I think it may be a little different than what we think. Translation. Men in this world desire success and fruit of activities. Therefore they worship the demigods. Quickly, of course, men get results from fruit of work in this world. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. There is a great misconception about the gods or demigods of this material world, and men of less intelligence, although passing as great scholars, take these demigods to be various forms of the Supreme Lord. Actually, the demigods are not different forms of God, but they are different. They are God's different parts and parcels. God is one, and the parts and parcels are many. The Vedas say Nityo Nityanam. God is one. Ishvara Parama Krishna. The Supreme God is one, Krishna. The demigods are delegated with power to manage the material world. These demigods are all living entities, Nityanam, with different grades of material power. They cannot be equal to the Supreme God, Narayana, Vishnu, or Krishna. Anyone who thinks that and thinks that God and the demigods are on the same level is called an atheist or Prashanti. Even the great demigods like Brahma and Shiva cannot compare to the Supreme Lord. In fact, the Lord is worshipped by demigods such as Brahma and Shiva, Shiva, Virinchi, Nyutam. Yet curiously enough, there are many human leaders who are worshipped by foolish men under the misunderstanding of anthropomorphism or zoomorphism. Iha Devata denotes a powerful man or demigod in this material world. But Narayan, Vishnu, or Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, does not belong to this world. He is above or transcendental to material creation. Even Sripad Sankaracharya, the leader of the impersonalists, maintained that Narayan or Krishna is beyond this material creation. However, foolish persons, Hitagya, Jana, worship the demigods because they want immediate results. They get the results, but they do not know that the results so obtained are temporary and are meant for less intelligent persons. The intelligent person is in Krishna consciousness, and he has no need to worship paltry demigods for some immediate temporary benefit. The demigods of this material world, as well as their worshippers, will vanish with the annihilation of the material world. The boons of the demigods are material and temporary. Both the material worlds and their inhabitants, including the demigods and their worshippers, are bubbles in the cosmic ocean. In this world, however, human society is mad after temporary things, such as material opulence of possessing land, family, and enjoyable paraphernalia. To achieve such temporary things, people worship the demigods or powerful men in human society. If a man gets some ministership in the government by worship of a political leader, he considers that he has achieved the great boon. All of them are therefore kowtowing, did I say that?
Mm-hmm.
Kowtowing to the so-called leaders or big guns in order to achieve temporary boons. And they indeed achieve such things. Such foolish men are not interested in Krishna consciousness or the permanent solution to the hardships of material existence. They are all after sense gratification, and to get a little facility for sense gratification, they are attracted to worship of empowered living entities known as demigods. This verse indicates that people are rarely interested in Krishna consciousness. They are mostly interested in material enjoyment, and therefore they worship some powerful living entity. Men in this world desire success and fruitive activities, and therefore they worship the demigods. Quickly, of course, men get results from fruitive work in this world. So this is very about as clear as it gets as far as this topic is concerned. In this world, we can see that people desire to achieve different things. Of course, for devotees, we have a different desire. We have a different criterion for success. Real success means that at the end of this life, that we'll remember Krishna. Therefore, in this Bhagavad Gita, in Prabhupada's commentaries, he says that for devotees, they mold their lives in such a way that they always remember Krishna. And for those who are materialists, they also have their form of worship, or their ideas of worship, or what they may not even call it worship, but we would say they do. In one sense, give such importance to it, it appears to be just like worship. One time, I told this story just the other day, in Brazil, the currency crashed one time. Well, not one time, many times. One time the currency crashed, and with American dollars, you could get what we normally would get one book for, we could get 10 or 12 books for at the printer. So the GBC gathered all the money in the zone and gave it to me in a briefcase, $30,000-$40,000. And I had a backpack with my clothes in it and a briefcase, and I was sent to Brazil. And lo and behold, which never ever happens, the devotees forgot to pick me up. And I'm standing in the airport. I don't speak Portuguese, they don't speak English. And I have a lot of money in a briefcase. So what to do? So after waiting and waiting, I realized they weren't going to show up. So I took a taxi. And the taxi driver spoke a little bit of English, and I spoke a little bit of Portuguese. So we're driving down the road, exchanging our lack of information, because neither one of us can really speak what we're trying to speak. And finally, we're driving down the road, and there was a big cemetery. And then he turns around, looks at me, and he says, "That's where all the millionaires are buried." Prime real estate for the rich. So I said, "Is that your goal?" And he said, "Way beyond. Way beyond my goal." So even in the material world, people want to be buried in a particular plot of land so that they can be recognized later on in life, such and such is buried with the rest of the millionaires. So what does he accomplish? It's not a whole lot. So, as Prabhupada was stating in the purport, that the individuals in this material world have different amounts of empowerment. The demigods have big amounts of empowerment. And as any person, we don't disrespect, but we realize their position. And their position in the material world is temporary. And as Prabhupada said in the purport, so are those who worship them. It is also temporary. So if all you can get from them is something temporary, then if that's what you want, go for it. You know, if you want just some temporary material benefit, then we can go for that. And these different material benefits or different material desires, they change so much. I always give the example, when I was a very little child, I had a tricycle. And I really, really wanted this one that had plastic things on the handlebars that came down so that when you went in the wind, they kind of flapped. And I remember, you know, I got this tricycle. And a few years later, it was sitting in the garage in the corner because I got a bicycle. Because my desires changed. I wanted one thing once and I wanted another thing. And then a few years later, the bicycle's sitting in the corner and the car is in the garage. And then it's got to be another kind of car and another kind of car. It never ends. When it comes to material desires, in the previous chapter, it says like they burn like fire. And no matter how much you put on them, they just increase the fire. So the demigods can give you so many things by worship of them. And as you surrender accordingly, and it was explaining, it actually is coming from Krishna, just indirectly. The demigods are there. Krishna's in their heart. He's also in your heart. And when we desire something, then, and we earn it, we may desire, what is it? First deserve, then desire. But it goes away real quick. It goes away real quick. Even if you get to the heavenly planets, what does it mean? It means, you know, maybe a little better neighborhood, but you're still subjected to the difficulties of the material world. Difficulties in the material world are described as birth, death, old age, and disease. And I was just talking to one devotee when I was in L.A. who had been, a devotee for about a year or so when Prabhupada went to Venezuela. And so he was a student at the university. So he said that, he thought, I have to say something to Prabhupada so that, you know, at least I've done it, at least I have to at least have some kind of connection. So he said, Srila Prabhupada, my teachers, my professors at the university say that, God is invented by people because they need him, because they are afraid of death. And so Prabhupada looked at him and said, well, tell them to stop death, then we won't have to need religion anymore. And tell your professor that if you stop death, then we won't need our religion anymore. We won't need it because we won't die. And that's the problem. So the conversation went on for a little bit, and the devotee told his professor, and it didn't go very far, as usual. They're professional subject changers. So this is the nature that if we want to become free from the ocean a material suffering, a material birth, death, old age, and disease, and there is a process for doing that. And that is given in the Bhagavad Gita, that's there, that we can free ourselves from the clutches of material energy. It's like a prison house. And it's very difficult to overcome this. But if one surrenders to Krishna, then he can very easily do so. But the guna is sometimes compared to ropes, and the living entity is bound very tightly by ropes. So in order to become free, he has to find someone who is not bound by the same binding that they are, so that they can untie them. They can untie them. I think in that same purport, Prabhupada mentions that no matter how great a swimmer you are, is that the same purport? You may be dropped in the middle of the ocean, but no matter how great a swimmer you are, you're not going to make it. you're just not going to make it to the end. But if somebody comes and grabs you and takes you out, then you're safe. So Krishna comes and he can call off material energy so that we have a chance to advance in Krishna consciousness. So we change our desire. Desire is always there. It's just a matter of what we desire. Desire is always, as Mara said, you can't stop, you can't stop. As soon as he said, I was thinking of this purport in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where, in the beginning, I think it's 6th or 7th, 8th verse, something like that, where Krishna or Prabhupada states that it's not a matter of being embodied, but it is the nature of the soul to be always active. So we're either active in Krishna consciousness or we're active in material consciousness. We have to make a choice. What do I want? Do I want the temporary benefits that I gain from serving in the material world? Or do I want to give it a different kind of benefit, which gives me a spiritual reward? And that is our choice. You know, that is our choice. We hear and we can choose. Mm-hmm. Even Krishna said in the end of the Bhagavad Gita, have you heard this attentively and not do what you want to do? But if you really want to know what to do, here's my supreme instruction. Just become my devotee, worship me, offer everything unto me, and sarva-dharma pratichaya mame kama saranam vraja. I'll protect you from all type of sinful reactions. And you can't stop sinful reactions, because every moment we're doing something to harm some living entity somewhere. When I was a school teacher, I gave the best days of a student's school days are when the teacher shows a video. Because you can either sleep on the video, you know, teacher, okay, you have a video. Oh my God, thank you. You know? So I showed him a video called The Invisible World. And then on the crest of the eye, there are these little worms. And no one knows why they're there. I mean, the entomologist or the bacteriologist, they don't know why they're there, but they're there. They see them through the microscope. And when you blink your eyes, you crush them. So everybody's like this right now. But you can only go like this for a few minutes, and all of a sudden, oink, there goes another crush, you know? So, and it showed all kinds of things, really gross. That was one of the least gross. There was a lot of gross stuff in that video. Anyway, so you can't avoid these in the ordinary discharge of your duties. You cannot avoid. But if you are surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna says, I'll protect you from all these sinful reactions. Not that we purposefully sin, but if there is some incidental due to our existence in this material world, then Krishna protects us from that. And otherwise, we get this choice of the misconception that about the gods and demigods in this material world. And Prabhupada said right here, actually demigods are not different forms of God, but they're different parts and parcels, just like us. I could be in the body of Lord Brahma, or right now I just happen to be in the body of Rataja Goswami. And whatever facility was given was due to my previous activities, and now I have this body, and Lord Brahma has his body. And he just has more facility, and that's there, according to one's reaction to his past activities or his karma. So it's a matter of choice. I mean, I've told this group here before, when I was working at the University of Florida, I would always ask the students, what's your GPA? And they would say 3.4, 4.1, you know, and I'd say, no, not your grade point average, your God point average. What did you do for God today? I see you got a whole backpack full of books that have, you know, that change every year. Absolutely. I mean, we don't want to discourage your children from going to school, but more or less useless. You know, more or less. I mean, one time I got on the plane from Brazil to America, and there was a magazine, Newsweek or Time magazine, and on the last pages the second to last pages, the kind of like a quick report of the latest scientific discovery. And this was like 1982 or 83 or 84, and the article starts out, well, we used to think the sun was this, 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 and this, but now we know that that's not true, and it's like this, 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 and this. What is the problem of a few years of ignorance when now we're in knowledge? So you get the funny part of it was, it not funny, but one of the parts of it was that I had remembered studying the first part of it and getting the right answer, but it was actually the wrong answer. And I got credit for getting the wrong answer just because they said it was the right answer. I got the right answer, but it was actually the wrong answer. And that's the nature of the material world. You know, it's very tricky. It appears to be something of value, but when you look at it, it really has no value. Because it's temporary. That which we hold most dear, you know, or that which we try to avoid, it's all going to go away. Just like yesterday, when I went down to the temple for Radhastami, I was like in my head when I was walking down the stairs because I had so many things on my mind, and this problem and this problem, and I was shaking my head, and I happened to see Vatsal Prabhu, and he goes, what's this all about? And I said, it never ends. He says, yeah, it'll end. It'll end. This part will end. Something else will begin, but don't worry, this part will end. So that's a choice. So we choose Krishna. Krishna said, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, I'm the source of all material and spiritual worlds. If we get Krishna, what are we lacking? We've got the material world and we've got the spiritual world. We've got everything. If we've got Krishna, there's nothing missing. There was a famous debate one time, way back, I think it was 78, where Ted Patrick, the world famous deprogrammer, was discussing with his assistant, Sandra Sachs, and Ridhananda Maharaj and Balavanta about Krishna consciousness. Only problem was, Ted Patrick happened to be a deprogrammer. He could kidnap devotees and try to brainwash them back into being brainwashed. So his assistant said, the problem is that in their schools, all they give their kids is Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I was just amazed that she could say the word, what to speak, and we do it three times. And either Balavanta and Rita and Anandamar said, he said, what is the problem with that? If you get Krishna, what are you missing? What are you missing? If you have Krishna, just like if you have, what his example probably says, if your friend has a lot of wealth, you also, reap the benefit. So if we have Krishna, we don't lose anything. And materially, if we just continue to search for answers on a material level, it becomes like the Three Stooges. I guess that's not a very good example for our Indian crowd, but that works for America. Oh, I see a few know the Three Stooges, okay. You know, you start with a small leak and you end up with a big leak. That's the nature. That's the nature. So the choice is, and the problem, or the Srila Prabhupada says here, that this verse indicates people are rarely interested in Krishna consciousness because they are so much drawn by this desire for material enjoyment. And therefore, they'll worship a powerful person. That means, my dear sir, what would Prabhupada explain it as? You get the big degree, then you go like a pedigree dog from door to door begging for employment. That's a type of worship. You go to the universe, you get a big degree, and then you just go knocking on doors. Dear sirs, I'm a very good dog. That sounds a little heavy. Okay, I'm a very good worker. I'll work very nicely for you. Please hire me. That's the nature. Because we want material sense gratification. Well, in another chapter coming up, the fifth chapter, he'll say, Yehi Sangsparsha Jaboka, Dukkha Yonana Evite. That one who's a little intelligent, he sees that engaging the senses in sense objects is a source of misery. Why? Because they're both temporary. Us searching for that object of sense gratification is temporary, and even the object itself is temporary. So it can't last. So devotees choose Krishna. At the end of the third chapter we just finished, it's a very nice verse, and I'll read it out loud. Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind and intelligence, O mighty Arjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence. In other words, it may not come natural in the beginning, so therefore we have to deliberately understand with our spiritual intelligence. And that spiritual intelligence is given through coming to these Bhakti Shastra courses, the Bhakti Chakra courses, where we learn what is Krishna, what am I, what is the material world, what is karma, what are all these things, and how does it all work, and how can I, you know, get free from it. So that is by deliberate spiritual intelligence. In other words, our senses may be saying yes, but our intelligence may be saying no, because here it says no. Therefore we go no. We go with no. And then if you put the coin, the chip on no, you win. So I guess we can open it up for questions. It's already 9 o'clock. If anybody has any questions, our comments, you can ask Maharaj or myself. And if you don't have any questions, we brought the buzzers. I did that one time at Rollins College in Orlando. And I asked for questions and none of the students raised their hands. So I said, okay, that means you all agree with me, therefore I can sorry up the girls and I can shave up the boys. Then they raised their hand a little bit. We have no combats. Okay, one. Maharaj?
There are some people who say that you cannot choose a guru, but the guru comes to you. Is that a true statement?
You want to start? You want me to start?
Take it.
By the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. And by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. When one is ready, then the teacher is there. Until one's ready, the teacher is not there. It's as simple as I can get. Maharaj, you want to expand upon it a little bit?
Sometimes he's there and we don't accept. Guru is there, but we have to be willing to take instruction. Guru means teacher. So for a person who's not interested in education, what benefit will he get from a teacher? And a person who is interested in education, he'll find a teacher. Teachers are there, but one has to be looking. Other people, they're looking for a cheater. They find cheaters. Cheaters are also there. So, but if one is sincerely looking for a Krishna conscious teacher, the teacher will be there. Is that okay?
then you have to expect the teacher to teach. That's what Maharaj is saying. That you get examination.
Maharaj, regarding the first verse that you read, I think you kind of touched on this subject, but we were recently attending a Hindu conference, and then one of the things that kind of resounds in these places is Manava Seva is Madhava Seva, which is service to the mankind is the most thing.
Watering the leaves is watering the root, is watering the tree. Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. So if I water the tree, the leaves of the tree, then that's the best way to water the tree. But that's foolishness. Then if Manava Seva is Madhava Seva, then I'm also Manava. So if I'm serving myself, I'm serving God. So that means you're a rascal. Then why does Krishna say, Mam Ekam Sharanam? If serving me or serving my community is serving God, then why does Krishna say surrender to me? Why doesn't he say surrender to yourself or surrender to your community? They have their own idea. Madhava has one idea of Madhava Seva, and they have another idea. Their idea is me Seva or us Seva. But Krishna says me, not you.
I mean, their whole point is that when people are suffering or when people don't have the basic necessities or basic protection, I mean, how can they even kind of think of God?
You have all the necessary things, so why don't you think of God? Do you think that now everyone who has, they have sufficient food, they have sufficient clothing, their health is good, therefore now they'll become God conscious? America is the answer to that. Krishna says, surrender to me, serve me, and you're thinking of doing some mundane welfare work. Basic necessity is Krishna consciousness. Somehow by Krishna's arrangement, almost everyone is getting food. Usually when there's some emergency, the welfare agencies are falling all over one another to deliver aid. And you want to be seen there also. Hindus are also good guys. We're sending food. When there was some, forget which one it was, an earthquake or a typhoon or something, I was in Bombay, and every politician, they were all falling all over themselves. There was a picture of Sonia there, you know, please help. Every rascal wants to do something to better the community. And hard, therefore Krishna says, Manusyanam Sahasreshu Kaschid Yadidi Siddhaya. Out of so many human beings, hardly one is interested in spiritual perfection. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mam bhakti, and still fewer are interested in me. Prabhupada gives the example of your Manava Seva, that you visit some rich man's house and you meet the man, you meet his son, and then a couple weeks later you're driving in your car and you see the boy, he's knocking on your window begging for food. So you think Manava Seva, so you roll down your window and you give him some food. Is that very good? Real seva is, you say, wait a second, you're the son of such and such rich man. Get in this car. And you bring him back to his father. Then his health problem will be solved, his money problem will be solved, his food problem will be solved. But you're giving a little crust of bread and you're thinking you're a great philanthropist, you're a rascal only. Therefore, it's conclusively understood that Krishna consciousness is the best welfare.
service. People are starving because countries, which we won't name, are busy grabbing up their resources or creating proxy wars for their resources. And then the same countries are saying, oh, we have to help the poor people over here, we have to help the poor people over there. Meanwhile, we're responsible for the whole business. But if there's Krishna consciousness, then that mentality changes. It's not our property, it's Krishna's property. And everyone has a right to share. Dana chaktena punjita ma gridha kashya svidhanam. This ma gridha kashya svidhanam. If that's understood, there'll be abundant resources. There's plenty for everyone. But because of lack of Krishna consciousness, those who have sufficient food, sufficient health, sufficient money, want more. There is no sufficient. Even over-sufficient is not sufficient for them. Because their Krishna consciousness is lacking. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, there's no shortage of anything in this world except Krishna consciousness.
Somewhat related question. When we say about being Krishna conscious, philanthropy, this doing Krishna, feeling Krishna conscious also, we can do philanthropic work. We can distribute prasadam that also helps them with the philanthropic work, plus also helps them.
That's not our business. Our business is not to offer food to Krishna and then dump it somewhere and say, yes, we're distributing prasadam, we're helping this, that. That's not our work. Prabhupada quite explicitly said, one time in Bombay, Prabhupada had instructed that they should distribute prasadam. So the devotees were going to the poverty-stricken areas. Giriraj Maharaj gave the report. Prabhupada wrote back, it's very good that you're distributing prasadam, but don't go to the poor areas. Because then it becomes karma kandya. So you should distribute at our temple. And don't advertise, we'll be self-advertising. People come to the temple, then they get knowledge, they get kirtan, they get books, they get prasadam, they get everything. Without prasadam, it's not complete. So prasadam should be distributed profusely, but not in the style of mundane welfare workers where you drop off the food at an orphanage, drop off the food at a school, and then they mix it with their chicken and all of that. Probably another time, Jayapataka Maharaj wrote to Srila Prabhupada that there was a typhoon somewhere in Bengal, and we went and we distributed prasadam and it was noticed in the newspaper, we got good publicity, so should we do that? Prabhupada said no. He said we should distribute prasadam more and more, but do not go to the emergency spot. We're not another edition of welfare worker, that you're giving meat as food relief and we're giving vegetables as food relief. We're not another version of the relief worker. Our relief is relief from material existence. And that comes not simply by prasadam. Back in the 1960s, the dream of the hippies was that we'll put LSD in the water supply and everybody will become turned on. You know, so now the dream of the Hare Krishna people is we'll sneak some prasadam into every plate, you know, and then people will wake up the next morning and they'll all be Krishna conscious. It doesn't work like that. But Prabhupada said, not to the emergency spot, but at our temple or when we go for kirtan. Just like in Africa, Prabhupada said, go just chant Hare Krishna and distribute prasadam. Everywhere. Why only Africa? America, New York. Chant Hare Krishna, distribute prasadam, distribute books, whole package. This is the cure for material existence.
Maharaj, regarding your story about the graveyard and the cemetery in Brazil, I was remembering a similar
You will.
Huh?
You will.
Live on in your memories.
Yeah. Who was in charge of America 5,000 years ago? Do you know? I don't either. Does anybody know? Who was in charge 2,000 years ago? So how long does the memory last? Even the memory is temporary. So what's the value of it? We may live on for one or two generations. But even in my family Bible, I don't recognize more than two. And there's about 10.
The humorist Woody Allen said that I don't want to live on through my descendants, I want to live on by not dying. In other words, you're remembered in the family Bible, you're remembered here or there. Meanwhile, you're a rat somewhere and...
Another question, Maharaj. Regarding the subject that you touched on, education and so forth, one of the things is, I mean, obviously, especially being Indian, coming from the Indian background, we are given so much importance on the material education aspect of it.
And in America, also, too.
Huh?
Here, also.
Yeah. But in India, I guess, especially, I mean, like, if you have the education, everything else, if you don't have also, that's fine, kind of thing. But, and so, all obviously, and also we were taught that that's the thing that you pass on to your children, giving them a better education, and so forth. And so, and you talked about, I mean, Krishna is the most best education, learning about Krishna is the best education as well. But obviously, people have reservations that, I mean, how is that going to feed, maintain our children's lives and so forth. And also, there are examples of devotees, and sometimes they mention about devotees who have worked in Krishna consciousness or for Krishna consciousness, and at later stages, I mean, they are kind of struggling to maintain their lives and whatever. So how do we kind of address this?
A couple of things come to my mind. One was, one of my friends had an aspiring disciple, and he was Indian, and he was in medical school, and he said that this last part is very hard. As soon as it's over, I'll start chanting my 16 rounds. And the day of the graduation, he went to a party and he had a heart attack and died. So when should he have started his rounds? The day after or the day before?
India was better when people were less educated. You know, what's better, Bangalore 50 years ago or Bangalore today? 50 years ago. So what is their advancement of education? Clubs and
coffee shop.
And women who become prostitutes. Educated. What is the use? Bombay, now the divorce rate is 50%, on par with America. So that's nice, we're educated. Educated and miserable, what's the use? America, they're so educated. What is the use to be educated? And I'll give you an example of educated. Prabhupada was walking in Vrindavan through with a batch of, you know, the usual morning walk, a whole batch of devotees, and he happened to be walking through a field. Back in those days, near our temple, there was a lot of space. He was walking through a field. While we were walking, this farmer came, the person whose field it was. And he was like a dirt farmer. I mean, you know, the typical gray cloth and gnarly hands, you know, calloused hands. And you could see he was just a farmer. And he saw Prabhupada and the devotees. He offered full dandavats. And he said, it's our great fortune that you've come to bless our field. He said, actually, it's Govinda's field, and it's a blessing for us that you've come. That's educated. Prabhupada said, in America, they would have come with a gun. Get out. Apart from that, education is not the guarantee. But you have a story about it, educate. Anyway, I have another one about education, but that's another thing. But according to my karma, I can get multiple PhDs and still be poor. Or not go to school and be wealthy. Some people, money chases them. Some people, money flees from. I said that in a class in Alachua, and it happens that our Radha Jivan Prabhu, maybe some of you know him, Tamal Krishna Maharaj's disciple, he used to run the little store in Mayapur. Then he started a clothing business in America. So I asked him after the class, did you finish college? He said, no, much to my father's dismay, I dropped out of college after my first or second year to join the Hare Krishna movement. But when he started a business, then he was a brahmachari, then he got married, this then. When he started a business, it became a $1 million business. Because he's a Marwadi. As soon as he starts a business, it has to be a $1 million business. So if Krishna desires, then everything will come. And if not, even it may come and I'll be miserable. With Krishna consciousness, if I'm rich, I'll be happy. And if I'm poor, I'll be happy. And if material world, if I'm poor, I'll be miserable, and if I'm rich, I'll be falsely happy, which is another kind of miserable. Or miserable anyway. I had an aunt who was wealthy, and she was so sick. What can you enjoy? Person who has Krishna consciousness will be happy in this life and the next. Without Krishna consciousness, they won't be happy in either life. That's a fact. You know, you said they have this formula. We used to think, but now we know.
Mm-hmm.
Rabindra Sarup Prabhu said it should be the other way. We used to know, but now we think.
So what would be a practical advice you would like to give to, I mean, we have a lot of young children now, parents with young children, so...
I would give radical advice. Of course, it doesn't matter what advice I give because you'll all send them to college anyway.
What is your radical advice?
My advice is that this one life should be used for perfection. That means Krishna consciousness. All this effort to become great technologists. Technologist means mystery. You know, like someone who you call to fix your electrical thing. It's just technology. That's not really knowledge. They advertise it as knowledge. They advertise it as vidya, education. but it's not. Adhyatma vidya vidyanam. Of all kinds of knowledge, the perfection of knowledge is spiritual knowledge. So over here they're offering, you know, that you can become a microbiologist, or you can become an engineer, or you can become a lawyer, you can become that, of which there are millions and trillions anyway, and you're redundant, really. And over here, you can get spiritual knowledge, make your life perfect, and go back to Godhead. So that you're happy in this life and happy in the next. So which education is important? Oh, this education. No. So there should be emphasis that way. As far as I'm concerned, these schools, as far as Prabhupada was concerned, these schools and colleges are all slaughterhouses. The young people go there and they become all materialistic. The women become prostitutes. They're educated. Education means that they, what a prostitute charges, she gives for free. And she's studying business and economics. It's not even good business. But it's true. I said this to, what is that place on western India, big place where everybody goes to school?
Pilani, Ahmedabad?
No. Far west. Pilani. No, many schools, not a particular school.
Dehradun?
No, not Dehradun, that's other side. So many colleges. What is
Manipal.
Thank you. I was talking to one student about how degraded the American colleges were and how loose the mixing of boys and girls were and the whole thing, how they're so drugs, everything. He said, it's not any different. In Manipal, same thing. I have no knowledge, but he was going to school there and that's his report.
Mm.
I was on the campus of the University of California at Berkeley one year. And it was quite a number of years ago, but anyway, I was there. And the semester was just beginning. So, you know, morning walk, so I'm there early in the morning, and there's a little magazine for the incoming freshmen, you know, give them some guidance and orientation. So, yeah, there's a two-page, there's a one-page warning against cults. You know, be careful about the cults. Then you go a few pages more. There's a double-page spread about the homosexual scene in San Francisco. And the theme is, well, you know, there's so many options, and maybe this option will be one that'll fit you. You know, it's kind of like try it on and see if it fits. And along with sort of preliminary instructions about where you can go and, you know, what you say and, like, what the signposts are and how to read them, all of that. So people are, some guy has worked his whole life and he's spending, you know, $30,000 a year to send his kid to the University of California at Berkeley, which is, his, you know, up there with Harvard and Yale and all, so that he can become a fag. You know, homosexual, gay, whatever, you know, term you want to use. The problem of education is cultural. Because education doesn't mean what you learn in the books. It means who you mix with and what you learn about how to live your life. So, you know, as Maharaj said, he's got a 4.0 grade average and his God average is 0.0. Even his human life average. You know, human life means no gambling, no intoxicants, no meat eating, no illicit sex. That's not Krishna consciousness. That's baseline human civilization. Show me an American university that has baseline human civilization. Maybe some religious institutions. Maybe. Otherwise, they're conspicuous for the opposite. If you want the best of intoxicants, you want the best of illicit sex, meeting you can get anywhere, especially those two. Go to school.
They even have a rating.
Yeah.
Which school is the best party school in America?
I was just in Tucson. I was speaking with a young man. He's a very wealthy young man. His parents are, my God, I saw a picture of his father's mansion. You could fit. Too bad you guys are living in this shack. That mansion is like enormous. And I said, so what brought you to Tucson? He said, well, the school had a good reputation as a party school. And it has a very good, you know, this department, very good, I mean, it's a good school, Tucson, University of Arizona. At Tucson. And at the same time, it's got a great rating as a party school. I was at Oxford, same thing. Students are telling me, you know, that we have our Oxford Center there. Students are telling me. Students get up in time for, like, their first class, 11 o'clock. You know, they're not even like, it's not even human life, animal life. Therefore, our, what is her name? Who's written that book on homeschooling?
Anuddha
Mataji. Anuddha Mataji. Said, basically, don't send your kids to school. You don't need to. They're stupid places. You know more than they do. Keep them home, teach them everything they need to know, and give them Krishna consciousness. And then if they want to go to college, you know, they'll shortcut it. Zip, 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 zip. Because they'll understand, first of all, they'll be better educated, better prepared than their peers. And they'll know why they're there. I'm boom, 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 and out, in and out. Best thing Prabhupada said is Gurukul. Danta Guru Arjita. Be trained exclusively for getting out of material existence. Go back to Godhead. That's the best. Next best, education at home. Last, slaughterhouse.
When I was teaching 14 years, I used to get things in the mail from universities. And they said that the top choices of children to enter into the top universities was that they would pick homeschooled children. Homeschooled children, because they knew that the parents had taken care of them in a way which they would be at least respectable students, and at the same time they had the care of the parent knowing how they were educated.
Parents, if you haven't read Arudta's book, go out and buy it. Unqualified endorsement. It had nothing to do with kids, and when I picked it up, I read it cover to cover. Fantastic book. For kids, you can read it and then pressure your parents.
It's available in the gift shop.
Okay. Uh, I can't say anything, you know, but she's got two sons who are like the proof of her talk. So she has full authority to say whatever she wants.
But could it be said that it's because of their karma? Because we hear that argument also from some parents that, I mean, because...
Yeah, it's not like guaranteed that you homeschool your kid and he's going to, you know, enter the university at the age of 12 and graduate in Oxford with a full scholar, blah, 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 blah. No. According to your karma. But then that applies anyway. You send him, you spend, you know, $40,000 a year and send him to college. And according to his karma, he'll do well or not. So keep your money in your pocket. You're all educated. Why are you spending, giving your money to these rascals when you can get the same value at home? It's business. Universities and colleges are business. So they have to project, we are indispensable. Ain't true.
When I was trying for my daughter for undergrad schools, and one of the big schools they were projecting, they were telling that till the third year you don't need to think or you don't need to what stream you want to go in. They will help you, and then the third year will help you. So basically they want to retain the students as much as possible, they get more money. That's the business there in the model there.
And what comes out of the factory? Educational factory, what comes out?
Prabhupada told the story about the Himalayas giving birth to a child. You know the story? There was the rumor was going around, you know, the word was going around that the Himalayas are going to give birth to a child. So people came to the Himalayas to see, you know. And at the time, then there was this big, you know, rumbling and shaking and then a crack opened up in the mountain and these little rats started running out. How practical is it? I dropped out of high school. And I'm working for a major American publisher. I read books published by other major American publishers, and I see the mistakes made by the editors. And I've gotten rice, dal, and chapatis every day of my life. And I got education from Srila Prabhupada to avoid married life, so I've saved myself hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Prabhupada attracted big, big scientists. Swarup Damodar, Zadaputa. And he wasn't a scientist. He had no postgraduate degree. he finished his education, then he gave up his degree out of sympathy with Gandhi. But he didn't go on to postgraduate education. But so many postgraduates came to him. And even now they're reading his books and they're astonished. Didn't require any of those things. Yeah, you'll do that. Vidyam cha cha vidyam cha yas. What is that? Vidyam cha vidyam cha yas. Tadvedo bayam sa. Avidyayam rityun tirtva avidyayam ritamashnita. Side by side, material knowledge and avidya, so called knowledge or university education. That's avidya. And Krishna consciousness is vidya. So, as I mentioned, you're all going to go to college anyway, no matter what I say. So, along with that avidya, be very serious about vidya, transcendental knowledge. Then vidya yamritam ashnita.
That reminds me, you were giving one class on brahmacharya, and someone at the end asked a question. Well, Maharaj, you know, if everyone becomes a brahmachari, then there won't be any more population. Nobody will have any children. And he said, I don't think the problem is everyone going stark raving brahmacharya. Yeah. You know, whoever few will take it up, then they will get the benefit. It's kind of the same thing. People, well, what if nobody works, if nobody goes to college, then who's going to maintain society? Mm-hmm. But the problem isn't everyone going raving.
Yeah, that wasn't exactly the question, but that's a fact. That of so many who are here. So if one boy becomes fully Krishna conscious, leaving aside college and all of that, is it a loss? Now he's the failure in the group? He's the success. The others can be accountants and engineers and lawyers and doctors and be Krishna conscious. But if one boy dedicates his whole life for Krishna consciousness, he'll accomplish far more. So much. Prabhupada said, I'm only one Indian, he said. And by my small effort, so much has been accomplished. Well, others take it seriously. And Prabhupada used to ask, he'd approach some gentleman and say, you have so many sons, give me just one. And I'll train him in Krishna consciousness. Oh, Swamiji, how will he live? But this is real knowledge that Krishna will do everything for a successful life. Yaya tam am prapadyante, tam stataiva bhajami. You surrender to me, I'll reciprocate with you. He knows what he's talking about.
This summer I attended Pandasena. You know that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pandasena.
You joined the army.
We were having some of the discussion, and one of the questions that came up was, if you had unlimited money, what would you do with it? And one of the girls in our group said that she would create a school for devotees. And so, I know we have one school already in Ravadish, right? But that doesn't, the education, there's a specific few jobs you can have with an education there. But she wanted to create a university where you could become many different things. So if you had something like that, we could have side-by-side education as well as Krishna conscious education.
Yeah.
Kind of like how all the Christian schools have their own Christian.
Yeah.
Right?
You can.
Would that be a good thing
or a bad thing? If people become, you know, to become Krishna conscious is hard, just like to become a doctor. How much effort, how much education, how much homework, how much experience, how much training do you have to become a doctor? So to become seriously Krishna conscious and be capable to understand the science and explain it persuasively for others, how much effort should I put into it? Mm-hmm. And how much time do I have to spare for other things? And how important are those other things? The world has enough engineers. The world has enough computer programmers. The world has enough nurses and doctors and business executives. The shortage is a shortage of people who know the science of Krishna and who can spread that science, teach that science to others. It's teaching. It's teaching. So there are so many places where you can go. You can pick up economics or engineering or law. But where is probably to challenge them? At MIT, premier institution, they're top of the list now, number one. Where is that department? You have so many departments. Where is that department to teach the difference between a living body and a dead body? They didn't have it. Yeah, I mean, they can see when the heart is beating and all that, but they don't know. And that's, you know, page one. They don't know that much. So why not an institution where people can seriously learn the science of Krishna? That's the real need. That's the pressing need, the urgent need. The whole world is missing this science. So why should there not be an institution where people can dedicate themselves to learning the science and being prepared to teach it and spread it all over the world? That's the greater need.
Regarding education, what is the aspiration in all? We are fearing or we are not convinced that being only Krishna conscious means we hear, we listen, and we question, we go ahead. Like you rightly said, we still send our children to school and colleges and everything. What is that? Are you fearful of something or are you not convinced or what is that?
You tell me.
Sometimes fear, sometimes
conviction.
Whether they want to survive.
Yes, Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kori Sudridha Nishchoy Krishna Bhakti Koilo Sarva Karma Kutaha. Faith means to have that firm conviction. Simply by serving Krishna, by doing Krishna Bhakti, everything else will be accomplished. That's firm faith. Problem was that we went to some school where they didn't teach that.
That's true. Because that's how we are brought up in childhood. Like those started in this country, education is important. Be educated. If you have education, then it is good. And that's what we are saying. Because we are giving it to our children also.
Anything else you would like to add on that? It's already 9:45. I'm okay with continuing, I guess, but Maharaj's is deadly. So, any other questions?
I think we probably can continue while Maharaj is on the honor of the time as well as us.
Okay. It's okay. It's up to Maharaj.
We just follow orders.
You're the educated ones.
Or for an undead.